you agree? We have a contract. You wanted to hold me to it? So hold me to it. Take that which is thine and go thy way. He said, I haven't robbed you. Here, you wanted a denarii? We signed an agreement in writing. Here's your denarii. That's yours. I haven't robbed you. I gave you what's yours. You earned it. I will give unto this last, even as I did unto you. It was his choice. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? And the answer is yes. Is your eye evil because I am good? Now let's talk about that. I want all of you to see what God has to say about ownership. He says that the owner of the company has the right to do with the company what he wants. It's his. And if you agree to work for $1 an hour, so be it. Work. And do your work as unto the Lord. If you don't like it, go get another job. Or you can go bargain with him, talk to him about it, petition him, but no demands. How can you demand? It's ungodly. And this example shows it. Do you realize, those of you with red-letter Bibles, you might notice this is red-letter stuff. Jesus himself is giving the example. This is Jesus' opinion. These are not my opinions. But now brace yourselves. Did you really notice what he said? He said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Verse 15. Referring back to verse 7 when he hired everybody, he made an agreement. He hired them. He purchased them for a time. God purchased us. We belong to God. We are not our own. We have been purchased. We belong to someone. Do you hear? Did you read that verse again? Did you dare read it again? Verse 15, the first half. Is it not right for me to do what I want to with my own? Oh, Christians. God, you're not doing fair with me. I don't like what you're doing with my life. Hush, I own you. You're the mud, and I'm the potter. Do you hear what God's saying to every one of us? Lord, it's not right for you to give him a raise and not give me a raise. It's not fair that you let her have a baby and I'm still barren. It's not fair that their marriage got put back together. Why not mine? He became an elder down at the church. It should have been me. The deacon, I should have been on that deacon board. They should have made me a deacon. Now I want you to see what's happening. The generous good nature of the vineyard owner, which was intended to bring them to repent, did not. But his goodness did reveal their hearts. And that's what Romans chapter 2 verse 4 teaches. That God is good to the wicked in order to bring them to repentance. Now in this case he was good, but it didn't bring them to repent. But it did reveal their hearts. They were like the rich young ruler. Remember where we went back to? Selfish. The contrast here is between the generous owner and the selfish workers. And the reason they drove for a bargain is they judged him by themselves. They knew they were selfish. They knew they were covetous. The story shows they're covetous, just like the rich young ruler. They're so covetous and so selfish, they cannot rejoice. See, they had a choice. Look, here they are. You ready? We're going to pay the last first. And the guys that went to work first are going to get paid last, so they're going to get to watch. I want you to observe in the story, you don't hear one word about the bunch that went to work at 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or 9 o'clock complaining that the bunch that only worked 1 hour got paid the same thing they did. Did you notice that? Nobody else griped. They were thrilled to death. They all knew they didn't have coming to them what they got. They were not selfish and covetous. They, moreover, could rejoice with the others that were being blessed, not this bunch. They were like the rich young ruler. So I'm trying to show you that God's goodness, beloved, always brings out what's in us. When we start saying, God, it's not fair that you let me be sick. It's not fair you let me lose my job. It's not fair. You know, I don't like the way you're dealing with my life. God's answer is, you belong to me. I can do anything I want. Why don't you just sit back, shut up, and trust me? I'm going to do with you much better than you've ever dreamed. It's going to come out before the whole thing's over. It's going to be so much better than you would have ever asked for. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Trust me. Trust me. So the last shall be first. Now he goes back to exactly what he taught us, the statement he made, and he's showing us what... In other words, you see that the last verse in chapter 19 gave us a statement we didn't understand. He said, many that are first shall be last, and many last first. And we didn't know exactly what he meant by that, so now he's given us a whole story that illustrated it. Just like the rich young ruler and Peter. The last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's right. The rich young ruler was called. But he was so selfish, so covetous, that he wasn't chosen. He wasn't chosen, not because God didn't love him, but because he wouldn't do it God's way. He wouldn't come God's way. He wouldn't trust God's generous nature. He wanted to see it black on white, like these wicked workers in the vineyard. He wanted to know what was in it for him if he had to give up all his worldly possessions. Peter didn't. Peter had just gone and followed God and forsook all that he had. But Jesus still warned him that even though he had done that, watch out that you don't become like him. See, Peter was watching him go down the road with all his possessions still intact. And it was eating old Peter up just a little bit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He still got all his money, and there he goes. He's still rich and powerful and got a big reputation in the community. And frankly, we look like a bunch of idiots. What's in it for us? He says, plenty's in it for you, but watch out. Don't let the disease that's in his heart begin to taint you, where you become covetous of the fact that he still got all his money running down the road down there, and you've lost your business. So they trusted him. No guaranteed salary. And got blessings beyond their wildest dreams. But beloveds, God did show us one his personal view on private ownership of property. God showed us by this simple story, he doesn't believe in socialism, and he doesn't believe in communism, or in the way the liberals did it, and want to do it. God believes in private ownership and that the owner has the right to do with it what he wants to. The one thing that we need to remember as owners is we're not the final and true owner. We're only stewards. God himself is the final and true owner. God's goodness in this story revealed everybody's heart. The ones that were hired later, and the ones that were hired at first. Would you stand?